去攻略那个特殊部队。
可是，呀，今天怎么了？老
师，
你把那学什么了？
老师，
是吧？
对。
那么声音声音有了吗？
得巴黎得读。
好，巴黎。
One shot in there. One shot prayer. Short, short prayer. In Pali.
Sukitatta Ye ke chi pana bhutati Tasavata varava Anavasesa Digavaye Mahantava Majima rasakanukatula Ditava yeva adita Ye chadure vasanti avidure Bhutava sambhavesiva Sabe sata bhavantu sukhitatta Mata yata niyam bhutam Ayusa eka bhutam anurakhe Evam pisa bhutesu Manasang bhavaye aparimanam Metan cha sabalokasmin Manasang bhavaye aparimanam Udanga docha tiriyancha asambadang averang asapattang etena sacha vajena sotite hotu sabada etena sacha vajena sabarogo vinasatu etena sacha vajena hotu te jayamangalam etena sacha vajena patu tam ratanatayam.
Thank you. Masum jimi shiro bhare jim maje me vana ke mo ni su su ra li shi ji va tu su je ve yung ba cha sa mo te a da ga de ga de pa ra ga de pa ra sam ga de bu de ye so te a da ga de ga de pa ra ga de pa ra sam ga de bu de ye so te a da ga de ga de pa ra ga de pa ra sam ga de bu de ye so Now today, about bodhicitta altruism. Basically, all religious tradition is to carry the importance of altruism. Then the I think a unique thing about Buddhism is the concept of interdependency or paticca-samuppada. I think that's the very, very unique about Buddhism. So in our daily life, even non-believer, I think altruism certainly very basis of our well-being, including physical well-being. Because more generosity, showing concern to others, that I think very the way of the attitude is something I think the self-confidence. People who are showing concern about others, they are himself or herself some confidence. Out of fear, showing concern to others is difficult. So more self-confidence brings less fear, more inner strength, as a result, physical level also more because of that. All the physical element then function more normal. Under fear, constant anger, constant hate, the physical element then much distant. So even the physical well-being I think altruistic mind is something very, very helpful. And particularly when you're passing through a difficult period. Altruistic attitude. Altruism really acts as a sustained peace of mind, calm mind. So that's one thing. Then Pratitisamuppada, or the concept of interdependency, that also is very, very helpful in our daily life, because the reality, everything interdependent. In economy field, or the ecology field, or health field, I think everything, even politics, international relations, the reality heavily interdependent. So that's the reality. But often appears as those interesting or something dangerous appears something independent, something isolated. So our method according appearances, then our method become unrealistic. So with full knowledge about the interdependency and the thing which positive or negative in reality depend on many factors. So knowing that, then dealing that become more realistic. It seems, you see, many unwanted sort of things happen because of unrealistic approach. So on that level, I think the Buddhist concept interdependency, that brings the idea of holistic. That brings more realistic attitude. So it is useful. Now, altruism, that in the Simjik, that the under the Simji is the idea that Sim Sambo, that is Dawa Dana, she doing a China Sama Sama Imba, doing a Derum is Tom. Right? The Nizi the Tom and Gone, any that champagne logic, do I believe? Certainly, you say, and the Pajidi, the Shumzuna, the Sungua, the Ningji, some generic, Shiro, the Changzul mix. So that could be some Jilim.
So now we'll be dealing with the topic of generating the awakening mind or bodhicitta. And as explained before, here we're not talking about a state of mind that's simply based upon a kind of a yearning for happiness and yearning to overcome suffering. Rather, the awakening mind of bodhicitta must be cultivated on the basis of a conviction that recognizes the possibility of achievement of happiness and possibility of achievement of the cessation of suffering. And motivated by that understanding, you then develop the aspiration to bring about others' welfare in the most effective manner. So this is what is meant by bodhicitta, the awakening mind, semkye, or generating the awakening mind, mind generation. And so in some texts, it is stated that with compassion, one, focuses on the sentient beings, and with wisdom, one focuses on the attainment of enlightenment. So it shows the role of altruism and wisdom in the context of the path.
So that day, on the same day, Peng, Lady Samni, the same day, Chizuk gave it to Zadatila. That's all the 닝질 토디아레 나르게는 나라 대에 싸와 닝진데 소원은 장주 무슨 그 싸와데 닝질 토송아레
So then having reflected upon the benefits of generating awakening mind bodhicitta and then Tsongkhapa goes on to explain the actual procedure by which this mind is generated and here the principal element really is the cultivation of compassion for example in Maitreya's ornament of Mahayana sutras he explains that the root of bodhicitta the awakening mind is compassion
da ningjis de zane kola da chajiru ni changbu do wa kang dungne ji nawa nawe yu de la jishi pangwe lo kya che da te dungne kang de nawe dungne liya pasol pure da jik jom de lo dan dendus name do jom de name do da da gam di ning ji di pe jom de so re ha da jin de ji ge lo ni bu de ko ya re
So, if you look at the understanding of what is meant by compassion, we will see two principal aspects to this mind. One is a sense of affection that holds other sentient beings as dear, and the other element, the sentient beings for whose suffering you are concerned about. So, the one element is to cultivate a sense of affection for the sentient beings for whose suffering you are concerned about and holding them to be dear. And the second element is a wish to help these sentient beings bring about a relief of their suffering. So these are the two elements that are a part of the compassion.
That to me, not really. And the Jibu Chungri, that Dume wanted to say, Jibu Chungu Kadula, Dumeji Dumeg, Samia the Jigsha, T. Dujab the Jigsanta. That the name Jibu Jing Kadulia, any Jue Dumeda, Hawa Duji Dume, Motaya. That the Dumedi was Chedi or rather. That Dume was a turning. 랑딘도 두지기 동에 있는 사람들 안에 랑이 두지기 동에 전력이 다 로지 탄력 타버튼이 로 민중사야 되지. 다디 샌딘도 파 가교인들 안에 아니 가라 샌딘이 신규지 양대인라 송난신 성지반이 샌드실 세하게 신규 턴 세하게 턴 신규 양대를 삼다니 rangling nyam la pa ne ani lenyu ji shangwa jan ta zo lenyu ji shangwa jan ge ani kwa be sem je di di ani dung ji na su de ta rang nyam la pa ne sam sta hen de zane ani ji kwa yu do ta te la ya ta da dung ge ne shin ba da ta da dung ge ne me na ya dung ge gyu So, Sachuba da Gyudubo to Totti Yedavaji. Any cur, Chelero Kolea, Chick Shisheva, Patuja, Chick, Shandubala, getting Chambuchi Yedavaji. Dagan Shingi, Chick Dazumbosole, Chick has a big Lunga neck and it did turn you are it. That is your take here, Takada, Yumbe Shagba Pazagi, never did the toy in the Sane. That teletandu logic. 제가 전주 불렀지 딱고 영어도 와. 다 되게 지그러셔.
So these two being the key elements that constitute the mental state that we call compassion, So the key, it becomes crucial to have a deeper understanding of what we mean by suffering, from which we wish that all sentient beings to be free of. And as for the development of the understanding of the nature of suffering, this has already been covered in the presentation of the practices relevant to the practice path of the initial capacity and middle intermediate capacity. In the initial capacity, the focus was more on understanding the nature of suffering at the level of evident everyday suffering in the form of a physical sensation. And in the context of explanation of the path of the practices of intermediate capacity, the main focus was on understanding the nature of suffering at the second and the third level, which is the suffering of change, and more importantly, the suffering of pervasive conditioning. And so having contemplated on the nature of suffering in these profound terms, then one develops a genuine aspiration to seek liberation from suffering. And at that point, one would have attained what is called true renunciation, or ngenjung. And so once you have attained that, then on the basis of relating one's own personal experience of having developed this genuine aspiration to attain freedom from suffering, when you extend that to other sentient beings, suffering sentient beings, then compassion arises. So here, because, for example, in Maitreya's ornament of clear realization, Abhisamaya Alamkara, when he defines bodhicitta, he says that the mind generation, the generated awakening mind, is for the sake of other sentient beings, for the for the welfare of other sentient beings. And when he, when Tsongkhapa explains that passage, he says that the welfare of other beings here refers to the attainment of liberation of other sentient beings. So in other words, compassion is a state of mind where you aspire for other sentient beings to attain liberation from samsara, from suffering. So, and here, the more your understanding of the nature of suffering is, the more effective that aspiration will be. And also, particularly, if your understanding of the suffering of pervasive conditioning is profound, then there will be a stronger recognition of the destructive nature of the afflictions, which are the root of this suffering of conditioning. And the more you are able to recognize the destructive nature of the afflictions, then the aspiration will also arise to not only be free from the afflictions, but also the propensities created by these afflictions. And these are the propensities which are, which come in the way of gaining full omniscient mind. And so these are subtle obscurations to total knowledge, full knowledge, and therefore the aspiration to attain Buddhahood, that is characterized by overcoming of even the subtle obscurations to knowledge. So that aspiration arises as well.
So, that in it. Shen Kang Dungajin Nawa, Nawa Simjan Dizela, Chishi Pambe Loyoya Dela, Yung Nabachin Tuku Yare.
So now the first element of compassion, which was to have this sense of affection for other sentient beings, in order to cultivate that, ability to hold other sentient beings to be dear. You need to cultivate a sense of connection and affection for other beings. So, as for the method for cultivating this sense of affection that holds other sentient beings to be dear, they evolved historically two main approaches. One is the seven-point cause and effect approach or method. The other one is the method of exchanging and equalizing self and others.
Tachidanshina, and Yunimanga Dumirlo Jayadi, the Champadema Yuada, the Soshet, the Dashim Jidi, Jayanema Yuche, Lavjin Chigi Sundua, Gobulu Jugi, Umarji Tananale, Dashim Jidua, Tangor Changu Semjinalia, Dashim Jidi.
So, in general, these two methods or approaches are traced to two different lineages. The seven-point cause and effect method, stemming from the lineage of Maitreya and so on, and the equalizing and exchanging of self and others, stemming from Nagarjuna. For example, in Nagarjuna's precious garland, and also particularly in his commentary on the awakening mind, Bodhicitta Vivarana, the approach of the equalizing and exchange of self and others is very explicitly presented.
The new design,
given that the second approach stems from Nagarjuna, and which emphasizes the equalizing and exchanging of self and others, this particular lineage is referred to as the lineage of practices resembling great waves. And the point here is that this is an approach that is more suited to practitioners of high caliber, advanced practitioners. And because if you compare the two, in the first approach, seven-point cause and effect method, the key element there is to cultivate the perception of other sentient beings as being related to you, either as your mother or somehow related to you. And on that basis, then the remaining kind of practices are built on. Whereas if you look at the exchanging and equalizing of self and others, this does not require considering others as somehow related to you, but rather it takes the practice at the level where you recognize the fundamental equality of yourself and others in terms of aspiration for happiness. And therefore, in Shantideva's text, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, where he says that one should exchange self with others and thereby engage in the put into practice this instruction, which is secret, suggesting the need for greater intelligence. So in the second approach, the most kind of the main approach is really by a way of reasoning, try to establish that fundamental equality.
But those then, you remember to make a rule, yeah, Marshi Tindens Jenny, the Samsung is an apage, parable, Chichabati, Namjurti, that Carol, catch him with the Vesu Stomido. What? Taxing him is an machine Chabachini, sometimes you already, in it, all of the 닥신이가 동행면도 충벌이 대원도 충벌이 있으니 넘죽기 시작합니다. 봐. 제시점도. 선은 아주 넘죽이 있어야 돼야 돼. 근데 닝질이야. 난 아주 넘죽이 닝질 패바디 바로 그 자주를 시작 때도 봐. 근데 이르자네 랑을 팬 당하게 닝지 쇼라 닝지 뛰기요 아래. 랑을 넘어치게 다이 쇼라 닝지 뛰기요 봐. 자상한 닝지 뛰기 쥐어버릴 때 들어봐. 넘죽을 때 들어봐. 티켓이 나왔습니다. 체험에 닝지스 러베이나 또 심신코를 쌉니다. 마도 디 넘주디 매부체 넘주랑 연 넘주 상해 넘주 가있네 디파 different question 간다 동해 민들부터 대화한테 찍고 있을 수 있네 그것도 제법부터 된대왜 소식도게
So in earlier I forgot one point that His Holiness made that So in the approach of exchanging and equalizing of self and others, not only is it not contingent upon cultivating the recognition of other sentient beings as somehow related to you in familial terms, such as mother, but even it is possible to recognize the kindness of other sentient beings, say, for example, even in the case of one's enemy who provides you an opportunity to further your spiritual growth and so on. So if you compare these two approaches, for example, in the case of the seven-point cause and effect method, which proceeds with the cultivation of recognition of all sentient beings as having been one's mother and reflecting upon their kindness and so on, one could say that there it still depends upon, it still relates to other sentient beings on the basis of how they appear to you and their actions. So whereas in the approach of exchanging and equalizing of self and others, how the other person appears to you and what their motivations are and what their actions are vis-a-vis you becomes a different question. What is happening is that you are establishing, you're connecting with the other person at the fundamental level where you recognize the equality that just as I wish to be happy, achieve happiness and overcome suffering, this person too wishes to achieve happiness and overcome suffering. And at that level, your relation, your perspective upon your perception of the other person does not depend upon, it's not influenced by or it's not dependent upon how that other person behaves towards you or how that other person relates to you. So therefore, generally, in my general talks, I often say that if we compare ordinary compassion with more cultivated compassion, there is a difference. Ordinary compassion seems to depend upon our perception of how other persons behave towards us, how they feel towards us. Therefore, we're able to extend our ordinary compassion only to our friends and family whom we consider to be, whom we think cares about us. Whereas when you cultivate genuine compassion, then you are relating to that person at this fundamental human level. So the compassion is not contingent upon that person's behavior, but rather you are relating to this person at the level of a person. And how he behaves towards you, what he thinks of you, is a secondary issue. But so far as your own compassion is concerned, you are relating to that person at this level where you recognize the humanity of that person and relate to that person just as I wish to be happy, he or she too wishes to be happy. So there seems to be the difference here where in one approach there is a dependence upon the other person's attitude and behavior. In the latter, there is no dependence upon the other person's attitude or behavior towards you.
Yeah. 当然了，那我得，那我就这么提吧。那得了，您就早些，准备先弄退休人，这我就是得吧。So
now we will go through the first method, which is the seven-point cause and effect method. And here, among these seven points, compassion is the principle, and all the other elements are either conditions leading to up to compassion, or the fruition, or the result of compassion.
다 도마 땅 좀 꼽아.
So here we the actual practice begins with the meditation on equanimity, cultivation of equanimity.
금디 땅 좀 써야지. 거실 차, 거실 땅에 소수문에 아 심하소다. 지금 니린 셰셰가 팀 명배인 말이야. 참말로 짜니 명배줘야지.
So the meaning of equanimity in this context is to really bring about a certain equanimity in your own attitude and feeling towards all others, so that there is no discrimination of feeling of distance or nearness.
아니네. 마조르규베 랑게 쳔디리아 즉 잉니슈지 다스제시 상황을 얻는 시대 마시 진짜 최소 용 참바 아니 닝지 락서 그게
So and then the next stage is to then cultivate a recognition of all other sentient beings as of someone dear to you, and here taking an example of a person who is most dear to you in this life. Maybe it is your mother or someone else, and then cultivating that understanding and sentiment, and then trying to view all other sentient beings in that same light. And then on that basis, we then proceed towards cultivation of the recognition of their kindness, and then the thought to repay their kindness, and then cultivating this affection that holds other beings to be dear, which then leads to compassion, and then compassion then culminates in laksam, which is this altruistic resolve.
That laksam is an essential quality.
So the key defining factor of laksam, this altruistic resolve, is a sense of responsibility of bringing about others' welfare.
Tan shendu kandis tu gore sa sam tan duzane, tada shendu tuya ge baba tuge nibe tuge stona, ta limited shwa.
So then the question arises: how do I go about, bringing about others' welfare? How can I make this real? Then one needs to check about one's own current capacity. So then recognize the limitations of your current state, and because if you cannot take care of yourself, being able to take care of someone else is a difficult task. There's a Tibetan expression that someone who has already fallen down is not going to be able to help someone get up.
So today in this day, ta, guava, shandun tuviaji. Ta diche do shandun tuvi chagian la, ani changju tuni ulos lingdo.
So although for the practitioner, the ultimate aim is to bring about others' welfare, but as a means towards that, one needs to cultivate the aspiration to seek enlightenment.
다 청주 되니 세하게 청주 되니 영원라 산지 고바서 하지다 요 임버동 실럽셔벤 데모소아 다 랑기 시균 디땡네 나바트리 쳔베 이신 루룽 임버지 사무스 코고도 와 다데 사무 몽슈 땅고도 와요 내가 타바 여버지 아니 니 뇽무 뽕 뽕루 임버지 셰베이나 뇽모 드샤베 바샤 봉루 임베지 로 코그로 와. 와. 자 따디 조조 따디 나 라메드 된 상다디 캐치시리. 셴 타초 하지 셴 카고르샤. 다 심차라 첸. 체아 따디 베지 가서 우리 그게 과차야 베지 약시드르샤.
So then, therefore, it becomes very important to cultivate the genuine aspiration to seek enlightenment. Now, in order to do that, it's not adequate simply to, proceed by kind of a naive assumption that enlightenment can be achieved. One needs to have a genuine conviction in the possibility of attainment of that enlightenment. So this would require the understanding that, in fact, this enlightenment can be realized within one's own mental continuum. And so this would require quite a lot of thinking. And so it becomes important to, first of all, have a genuine understanding of the possibility of attainment of liberation, moksha. And this would also involve the conviction and understanding that the afflictions can be brought to an end. So there is a possibility of a cessation of the afflictions, and that afflictions can be eliminated. And once you recognize the possibility of the elimination of the afflictions, then one will also extend that line of thinking to understand and recognize that even the propensities created by these afflictions can be removed and eliminated. So on that basis, one will be able to develop a genuine recognition of the possibility of attainment of Buddhahood. And to really have a deeper understanding of the possibility of full enlightenment, my own feeling is that one needs to bring in the perspective of highest yoga, Tantra, which provides us a way of understanding the nature of consciousness at many different levels, so that one can understand the possibility of attainment of full omniscience on the basis of the subtlemost, understanding the subtlemost level of consciousness. So, for example, when we try to understand the Mayana presentation of the theory of the four kayas, the four embodiments of the Buddhahood, if we bring in the perspective of highest yoga Tantra, and particularly the concept of fundamental innate mind of clear light, then on that basis, one can then envision at least the possibility of how the four kaya concept makes sense. However, if you do not bring in that perspective, then one's understanding of the four kayas, the four embodiments of the Buddhahood, become rather vague. So this is the reason why the statement is found that with wisdom, one focuses on enlightenment. So this, in a way, we kind of already touched upon when we discussed the understanding of Nagarjuna's line when he says, by means of emptiness, the conceptualizations are calmed. And the alternative reading was, within emptiness, the false conceptualizations are dissolved and calmed. Mm. So once you have a true understanding of what is enlightenment, a valid cognition of what is liberation, then on the basis of aspiration to bring about others' welfare, one can then develop a genuine aspiration to seek enlightenment. So then Tsongkhapa explains what exactly is bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and he defines it as a state of mind where the aspiration to bring about others' welfare serves as the cause and the condition, and the aspiration to attain Buddhahood is a concomitant factor, and on that basis one cultivates this mind.
So
성지 신의샤 말에 레레입니다. 별로 주님이 보냈으니 인시하라고 별로 모의 보도와.
So and then there principally awakening mind or bodhicitta is of two kinds. One is the aspiring level of awakening mind, and the other one is the awakening mind in the form of engagement, actual engagement. But also from the point of view of corresponding levels of the path, there are four types of bodhicitta identified, but also there is a list of 22 different types of bodhicitta or awakening mind explained in the text, where different metaphors are used to define them. Mm-hmm.
다 민주의 개발은 좌다 교수는 안 올래 틈틈이 맨다 여부래 저는 다 아주 젊은 책에 송야 돼 아니 남기에 타버려 좌우 냠베 림보 제 지구 개능 늦자네 되는데 왜 다 사바디 맨베쌤체 다 되네 남기에 타베 탑 전주쌤베 러저러 로바 캐바 담제베 제주선도 또 봤었네. 되네 죽든 걸 넣지 되베 아니 단 도발랑 신제네 아니 죽습.
So as to these two principal types of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, the aspiration, aspiring or aspirational bodhicitta and engaging bodhicitta, how the two are distinguished, there seem to be slight differences of explanation in the classical Indian text. However, the Tsongkhapa's understanding is the following. So when the practitioner, as a result of cultivation of bodhicitta, arrives at a point where he or she gains realization of a single-pointed aspiration, a spontaneous single-pointed aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings, at that point, the individual has attained the aspirational level of bodhicitta. And on that basis, when the practitioner cultivates the commitment to engage, implement this aspiration into practice, and commit himself to engaging the bodhisattva practices, then takes the bodhisattva vows, and after having received the bodhisattva vows, from that point onwards, then his or her bodhicitta has turned into an engaging awakening mind.
The kundi dinarya kamal shile kumrung kungchanarwa.
So Tsongkhapa bases this interpretation of the distinction between the two upon Kamala Shila's text, the middle stages of the path. Yeah. Gunibar, Gunibaba.
Gunibaba.
Gunibaba. Yeah. Second.
But Gunibar Thangbo Sushi.
Yes.
Gunibar Thangbo Le.
Sorry, the first volume of the stages of the path. Yeah. Stages of meditation. Sorry.
그래서 Gunibar. Kamala Shila 별 잡은 있어요.
So this text, Bhavana Grama of Kamala Shila, Stages of Meditation, it appears that he composed it in Tibet.
양아를 잡으셨지? 우마나와 있어요.
So his main text that was composed in India seems to be Madhyamaka Aloka, a lamp, sorry, the light of Middle Way.
다음은 신기 켄지 시워츠 세신이 되봐. 대신하는 뿐이로와 뒤자가자면으로.
Similarly, his massive commentary, which is actually in two volumes, on Shantarakshita's Tattvasamgraha, that text also seemed to be composed in India.
할례비스샤.
Quite an impressive work, actually.
다고하시래. 그 프로페서스 죽어도 교수는 해야 왔다.
So this is a text that really needs to be studied, and it would be, you know, helpful if professors here can take upon the task of translating it.
네 필로 거로다 고페 이거도가 사사 프로페서스 네 디모주고는 야소 야오자고가래자
So of course I read this text in the Tibetan version even then you know my head starts you know swirling around So the professors, you know, when you, if you do take upon this task, before you do that, you need a big rest first. So the next section is training the mind in generating the awakening mind according to the approach of equalizing and exchanging of self and others.
우리가 다섯도 이제 너무 기시포도 레디니야 직변수 가지고 나라냐 빼자 망구치 빼 가짜 쓰는 게 아니라 아니 빼디 우빼지 수요다 간 대비 빼지 수비 녀도 사오체 징지 수시베리 그래서 그도데 보도에 기루 자체 나 담바스다는 어시베리 엔 버드에 오페시 쉬쉬베 그도 있어서 저 가는 쓰기였어 기루드 대버리 자 뒤에 이제 프로페서스가 고뇨세 뒤에 그들이야 로봇을 careful 쳐버려야 더슨 be cautious
This reminds me of a story. This was once the Kadampa master Potowa at Ratting Monastery. One day he was very busy trying to compile the catalog of a large amount of texts, which were all kind of slightly jumbled. And, you know, and this was a very difficult task, and he started getting really, really confused. And so at that point, one of his students came to see him and asked for an instruction. So this really annoyed Potowa. So he turned to the student and said, well, what are you talking about? So, and in fact, chased the student out. So similarly, when the professors are working on the translation of this very difficult text, you know, inevitably you're going to be in that state of mind. So people around you will need to be a little cautious.
다진에 다시 물어보는 거야.
So now from this point onwards from the text Tsongkhapa is explaining the method of training one's mind in generating the awakening mind according to the approach of equalizing and exchanging of self and others.
자, 가져와. 사람들이 줄이 알아봐. 사람들이 이제는 줄이 알아봐. 요시가로 줄이 알아봐. 사람들이.
사람들이 이제는 요.
같이 나왔어.
전달. 차상 유명 관심.
전달요.
가가 영어로. 어.
세진 게 요, 요로 와.
같이 너무 같이 같이.
세진.
스타인.
근데 세진 also is exist. Tattva-samgara is also translated, isn't it?
Sejin Yore. Sejin
Yore. Sejin Yore.
Sejin Yore.
Sejin Yore. Sejin Yore.
Sejin Yore.
Yore. Yore.
Yore. Yore.
Yore.
Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore.
Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore.
Yore.
Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore. Yore.
Yore. Yore. Yore.
Yore. Excellent. Yeah.
Very good. 다시 로자야다디 다데리 시월이 숨몽을 타나도와 다 다시 냐바 다지지 교고 도만의 사바 신신의 고 도만의 사바 다시 제가 사방을 달드는 동료 금지
So of course the explanation on how to proceed in the training of one's mind according to the approach of equalizing and exchanging of self and others is extensively presented in the text here in Tsongkhapa, by Tsongkhapa. And the steps are the following. One proceeds with first cultivating the equality of self and others, And then one moves on to contemplating the disadvantages of self-cherishing, and then the advantages of the thought cherishing others' welfare. And then on that basis, one actually engages in the actual training of exchanging itself. Mm-hmm. And then succeeded by meditation on Tonglen, giving and taking. As for the text, Shantideva's text, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, which I was told Shantideva can be dated to the 8th century. So this was a text composed in the 8th century. We are now in 21st century, and to this day, as far as the cultivation of this exchanging of self and others is concerned, Shantideva's text still remains the most excellent. Next is once, as a result of training your mind, you have generated some experience within you, then at that point, in order to make that realization stable and firm, then one participates in a rite or a ceremony to really confirm or affirm this generation of awakening mind. So the next main outline is how, after having generated the awakening mind, one engages into the actual Bodhisattva practices. And since what the practitioner is aspiring for is the attainment of Buddha's omniscient state, and since omniscient state is of an attainment that comes as a result of causes and conditions, one needs to seek the causes and conditions. And there, not only the causes and conditions, but all the complete causes and conditions, and the right causes and conditions. And here, this includes many different practices. But if one were to summarize them, then as Nagarjuna points out in his dedication verse of the 60 stanzas of reasoning, where he says that may through this virtue all beings accomplish the two collections, and on that basis attain the Buddhahood that is characterized by the two kayas, two embodiments, form body and truth body. So here, the main factors that are necessary for the attainment of Buddhahood are identified as the collection of merit and accumulation of wisdom. And if we were to elaborate these two accumulations a little bit further, then these are explained in terms of the six perfections. And if we elaborate the sixth perfection, which is the perfection of wisdom, further, then we have four more perfections altogether. There are 10 perfections according to that list. So these are the conditions and the causes that one needs to cultivate in order to attain Buddhahood.
Yeah. That the subject is on what? Simjini, Java, Lokovi, Juzin. Tashi, they want to live a Sanjay, Midruba Temba. Level of Rimba Nishavas. That Tashi, that the Tishan, Shire, Kasajuti, Chongju Sadi, Dronyam Nicheni, Chongju Toya Remato, none of them should touch Maris, none of the Rawas of Chitoya Mari, and the same Juhu Yari. The Niduzane, Java Lokovich. That Java Lemne, Java D, Tapsi Dorduna, Tapsi Casa, Tho Ni Sundadi, Tapsi Nibari, Tapsi Nigala Sanjores, Kares Lemna, Tabi Rigidi, Tajin Dumbiri Risha, Dumbada, that is the Rigid, Java Rigid, the Human. Jolani, Benjamin, or the Benjamin of the Chinese, the Benjamin Donsim Donsim Gun and Shabu, but there's a patient to Burger and Rumor something. Tea, dear Dreadi, being Nishin, Jimbe, Shiro Guchane, Conacon to Pego, you are it. Diana Shiro, that Jibben, don't you have a Shiro Gulet, Bena, Rapen, don't you have a Shiro Gulet, Yavale, to a Jim Mimbus Shona, don't you have a Shiro Gulet, Lalari. She didn't do that.
When explaining the practices of the six perfections, Tsongkhapa, this is on page 85 of volume 2, presents the topic in the following main outlines. He says that the reason why you must learn the trainings after developing the awakening mind and demonstrating that you will not become a Buddha by learning either method or wisdom separately. And here Tsongkhapa explains the need for both the method aspect of the path and wisdom aspect of the path, and how it is through the union of both of these one will be able to ensure that all the causes and conditions necessary for the attainment of omniscient Buddhahood is made possible. And so if you look at, and as explained before, and these method and wisdom aspects are presented in the form of six perfections. So if you look at all the practices that belong to the method aspect, such as generosity and morality and so on, there the principal element is really the application, development, cultivation, and application of a more aspiring type of mind, more in the form of aspiration. So even in the case of generosity, although the actual act of giving is important, but what is essentially happening is to really enhance one's intent for giving. So in other words, in the method aspect of the path, the main faculty that is being applied and cultivated and developed really is in the form of an aspiration. Whereas, however, in order for these method aspects of the path to be effective and progress, one needs the faculty of wisdom, which will bring in the sense of conviction and the ascertainment. And then the greater your level of ascertainment and conviction, the more enhanced your practices will be. So similarly, the wisdom aspect of the path needs to be complemented by the method aspect of the path. For example, in the context of cultivating the wisdom of emptiness, realization of emptiness, in order for that to occur, we need to make our mind or heart receptive to that realization. And therefore, in order to make our mind receptive for the realization of emptiness, one needs to engage in practices of purifying negativity and, you know, increasing our merits. And once through the combination of purification of negative karma and increasing of our merits, we make our heart receptive so that the wisdom of emptiness can arise in it. So we can see how, you know, the two factors, aspect of the path, the method and wisdom, they really complement each other and reinforce each other and mutually enhance the development of each other. And so it is the method that help the practitioner to cultivate realization of emptiness where there isn't a realization yet occurred, and where the realization has occurred, it is the method aspect that will help that realization to become more enhanced and progress. And in particular, it is the method aspect of the path that will ensure that one's realization of emptiness, that wisdom, becomes a powerful antidote against subtle obscuration to knowledge and becomes a cause for enlightenment. So, similarly, when you look at the way in which one understands the progression from one level to the next level on the path, the actual progression on the Bodhisattva levels really occur when someone is in the meditative equipoise on emptiness. So it is ultimately the quality of the wisdom that would determine progression on the path. So therefore, wisdom being the principle, and the method aspect becomes a complementary factor.
No, yes, sir. That is not super level of love, but shallow. The petard was so that. That's an army that 바르시고 툭 써야 되겠다. 장례식 정도 와. 내려야, 가사. 무기든 장례 봤어. 아니, 샬라, 구름이 왔단 말. 니소에. 마스테.
Yes,
ma'am. 니소와.
So, when explaining the Silk's perfection, Tsongkhapa explained this in the following outlines. He says that how all the precepts are included in the six perfections, and this is further divided into the following: a discussion of the main topic, the fixed number of perfections, and an ancillary discussion of the fixed order of the perfections.
That part of the troops in a tongue and never shed the chill tongue in the air, Pussum Sever Changis. But a Dabanese or Lavina, Pussum Sever Changi. Dabashis Lavina, Pajer Gorgi Changis was Mendo. Down the Chindu shed the Pajer Gorgi Changis.
So
I am Lotto Sever Changi.
So the reference here to the kind of determinate number or fixed number, generally in the text when one talks about a certain division as being fixed or determinate, there are many different kinds of a fixed number. For example, if you take the example of the two truths, then it is an exhaustive division, a number. So the number is fixed, and it is exhaustive. But if you take the example of the Four Noble Truths, then the determinate status of the number has a very specific purpose. So it's a It's a fixed number for a specific purpose. So my feeling is that the six perfections here shares the similar status. It is not an exhaustive list, but it's more a fixed number related to a particular purpose. Then you have sometimes a certain fixed number and division to help dispel certain misunderstandings. So there are different types of different reasons for making a very fixed, determinate number or a list. So the first of the six perfections is practice of generosity, and the actual explanation of the text itself is fairly straightforward, but it is an important topic. We need to reflect upon this and try to practice. So the key point in the context of the practice of generosity, perfection of generosity, is to ensure that it brings benefit to the other. So if you look at the sections dealing with what are the appropriate things to give, appropriate time and so on, the key element here is to ensure that whatever is given is of benefit to the other person. So in terms of different types of giving, generally text lists three main forms of giving: and giving of material needs, giving of protection from fear or fearlessness, and giving of dharma, spiritual teachings. So, for example, if one can ensure that one's motivation is correct, then all the work related to environment protection can become, from the Buddhist point of view, a form of the second type of giving, which is a giving of protection, fearlessness. So similarly, with the professors and teachers giving lectures and so on to others, can be a form of giving of dharma, giving of spiritual teaching. However, if the motivation is purely to get the pay, then it becomes a form of exchange.
Business, like business.
It's like a business transaction.
Even Dalai Lama give lecture in order to receive some money, that's the business. Not because of the chimba.
So then it doesn't become a giving, it just becomes a business. In fact, traditionally, that form of business is considered to be the worst kind. So this reminds me of a Tibetan master, Tsele Nazo Rangdu. In his writing,
Nyingma master,
he's a Nyingma master. In his writing, he speaks of having made three pledges. And these three pledges were never to ride any animal. Second one was not to eat meat. And third one was not to take any offerings, material offerings, as a result of giving Dharma teachings. And in this context, he says that he realized that taking money from giving teachings is seems to be a kind of a business. And this is, he said, is the worst kind of business. So the second perfection is a perfection of morality, and there are three principal types. One is morality in the form of restraining from negative actions, and second is morality in the form of gathering of virtue, virtuous activities, and third is morality in the form of working for others' welfare.
So, take it digitally, I a nurse, chaso, doctor, so nurse, Mijibuchimalisha.
So, earlier I also forgot to mention that those people who are in the caring profession, such as nursing and medical doctors, their activities can become a form of giving in the of second type, which is giving protection from fear.
That is, oh, the surgery. You should have been surgery. Charge us some. That damn. So that we that damn thing be in. That Kimberley region, Kangi in. That so that damn thing be in. The new so that damn thing. Charge us some. You should have been surgery. So what's it? So that damn thing. Member thing be in.
So, since we are talking about morality, or perfections in the context of a bodhisattva practitioner, we are talking about morality in the context of a bodhisattva practitioner. So, if the practitioner is someone who has vinaya vows, individual liberation vows, whether of a lay vows or a monastic vows, then the observance of those vows becomes the first category of morality, which is the morality of restraining from negative actions. And if the person does not have any formal vows of vinaya, then the morality would be the morality of living one's life according to the principle of abstaining from the 10 negative actions. But however, this should also include for the bodhisattva practitioner refraining from, guarding against the self-cherishing thought as well.
That is, kya chudu sadiri ta rang julia ta kada kador bage. Kada kador ta.
So the second category of morality of gathering virtue can include all the practices that one engages in, that is, that leads to the development of the various aspects of the path, whether it is relating to profound view of emptiness or the vast practices.
So kurim di dirisha, ngayari nyeshu tam yadis, shubha thangguru shere.
So in terms of the sequence, there is also a certain fixed sequence between the three levels of morality, because when one observes the morality of restraining from negative actions, and then enables the individual to have development of the virtuous qualities within one's heart. And once you have developed your own mind in that way, then one will be able to be more capable of bringing about others' welfare. So therefore, there is a certain progression within these three types of morality of restraining from negative actions, to gathering of virtue, to bringing about, working for others' welfare.
나한테는 심지어 저주 심지어 전차와 죽지 있어야 돼. 네 청주 중론은 안 송야래.
So in this context, in this text, when explaining the third level of morality, morality of working for others' welfare, Tsongkhapa lists 11 different forms of service, and this is explained also in more detail in Tsongkhapa's Tsongkhapa's commentary exposition of the morality chapter of Asanga's Bodhisattva levels. So to list the 11, very briefly, the first one is to provide assistance where there is a need for assistance. So for example, as a simple example would be if someone is suffering from you know, problems in their leg and has difficulty walking, then just helping that person. So then the second one that is listed is, I don't think it's in this text, but it is from Tsongkhapa's commentary on Asanga's chapter on morality. The second one is to help others where they are, they have level of ignorance in a particular work they are doing, or a means of doing something. So the third one is to be more proactive in reaching out, for example, being more welcoming of others and so on. And then fourth one is to provide companionship to people who are you know, going through a difficult time, like such as fear and so on. And to provide companionship and support for someone who is suffering grief or sorrow. Helping those who are in need of immediate material needs, material facilities. And helping those who are trying to seek a shelter. I misunderstood it. So those who are seeking some form of support, and not physical shelter, but more in the form of a mentor or support, kind of emotional support. And then the next one is to ensure that whatever help you are giving is done in an appropriate way so that it is beneficial to the other person's state of mind.
And then
So next is to provide some form of spiritual kind of counsel so that the person who may be likely to go in a wrong, non-virtuous path is gently steered towards the right path.
So
And then the next one is to, where necessary, take a firm stand, especially when it involves a harm being committed by someone else. And the next one that is on the list is that if you have the capability, then where necessary, you should use your magical powers to help others. Of course, that's a long distance question. So this is something that we can defer and reserve for the moment.
later, not now.
So these are the 11 forms, ways in which one should work for others and beings benefit, listed in the text. So then the next perfection is perfection of forbearance. So there are principally three forms of forbearance. One is forbearance in the form of being indifferent to the harms perpetrated upon oneself. And the second form of forbearance is forbearance in the form of deliberately embracing harms caused by others. Deliberately embracing the hardships and the pains involved. And the third form of forbearance is forbearance developed on the basis of reflecting upon the Dharma teachings or reality or truth. So in this particular section in Tsongkhapa's text, he really grounds all of his explanation mainly on the basis of Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and he extensively cites from that text.
Shantideva's sixth chapter. A really wonderful sort of explanation.
So next perfection is perfection of joyous effort. Or joyful perseverance. So three forms of joyous or joyful perseverance are identified. One is in the form of putting on an armor or armor-like joyous effort, and the second is joyous effort in the form of gathering virtue, and third is joyous effort in the context of working for others, sentient beings' benefit. So the first type of joyous effort in the form of an armor-like quality is really to cultivate an attitude which takes into account this long temporal kind of frame, cultivating the sentiment that, you know, even for the benefit of a single sentient being, that I shall dedicate myself for eons until the reach of end of space. So, for example, in Panchen Lama's Guru Puja offerings to the, or celebration of the Lama, here he says that even for the sake of a single sentient being, if I were needed to be in the lower realms for an eons at a time, I shall not be disheartened and strive to bring about others' welfare. So this is really talking about this armor-like quality of perseverance.
Yeah. 다디에 처음에 처음에 난게 안다 준주 퍼진 송서디에 안다 쇼래 안다 네 준주류 저거 좀 봐.
So and also the main source that, again Tsongkhapa uses in his Lamrim Chemo in explaining the practices of the joyous effort the perfection again is from Shantideva's text. It's the 7th chapter of Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life.
Thank you. That is what some of the
ship. So the next two perfections are perfection of concentration and perfection of wisdom, and these two are covered in the third volume, which has a separate section where the focus is on presentation of calm abiding or triangle abiding, shamatha, and a special insight, wisdom, vipassana. So the next, so these two perfections will be dealt with in the third volume. So the next topic is the four factors for attracting others. So the four principal factors for attracting others are the following. The first one is giving what is materially needed, and the second is using eloquent and pleasant speech so that is appealing to the other person, and the third is to leading the other person to a virtuous or rightful path by means of teaching, and the fourth is to living that by one's own example. So whatever you teach others, you must be able to live that yourself by means of an example. So up to this, engaging in the Bodhisattva practices, in the general practices of the Bodhisattva path is completed. Have you brought the third volume with you? Keys, Mare.
Ka.
Kimido.
Timmy. Timmy. Oh. Yeah. Tell me the jet of shoot or jet.
So maybe my presentation was a bit too fast.
Oh yeah, that. That someday the shirup sinner, someday shirup sore. That she need a hang dong slave in a jury, she need a hang dong slave in a tomorrow.
So, when we're talking about triangular biting, shamatha, and special insight, vipassana, generally speaking, these two practices are common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist classical Indian traditions.
So
For example, in Lanka Avatara Sutra, Descent into Lanka Sutra, there is a statement that and where the Buddha identifies various types of vehicles, and he calls them the vehicles of the celestial beings, vehicles of the humans, and vehicles of the disciples, there's the vehicles of the bodhisattvas, and so on. And where the point is made that as long as and there would exist among the sentient beings a tremendous diversity of mental dispositions and spiritual inclinations, they will evolve tremendously diverse forms of vehicles, spiritual vehicles.
Pluralism.
So in this sutra, the spirit of pluralism is very clearly presented. So if we try to understand what is meant by the celestial vehicle, celestial being's vehicle and human vehicle, then here probably the primary aspiration is or the purpose is to bring present a path that would lead to freedom from immediate suffering. So then when the Brahma vehicle, the vehicle of the Brahma is presented, then in this context, the practices of tranquil abiding, shamatha and vipassana, special insight, becomes relevant. So here, the main aim is to remove or dispel the suffering of change. So here, the main path is to progressively go through the various levels of concentration and formless realm of states. And although the foundation is the cultivation of tranquil abiding shamatha, but the actual path itself is a form of vipassana, special insight that compares the characteristics of the desire realm or the lower realms as opposed to the higher realms. So then this raises the question about the notion of the three realms. So how can we establish the existence of these three realms, the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm? One way in which we can kind of understand this is to examine our own states of mind. So if we compare, if we look at our own mind, those states of mind which belong to the desire realm tend to be much more gross. So you have much more grosser levels of afflictions and also other mental thought processes and so on. Compared to this, someone who has gained samadhi, meditative stabilization, will know that there is a very subtle, there is a subtler, comparatively subtler state of mind where he or she can abide. So, and compare this to the normal, ordinary desire states of mind, desire state of mind, then you can see a comparative difference of subtlety. So, and even there at the, you know, in the realm of meditative states, one can see progressively deeper states and so on. So corresponding to this, one can then infer that there might also be resultant states of being which are the fruits of these various states of mind. So in this way, one can at least understand the existence of the three realms, the desire, form, and formless. So in describing the quality of concentration embodied in this attainment of tranquil abiding, Tsongkhapa describes in his Songs of Spiritual Experience, Lamrimin verse, he describes the following characteristics, which may be helpful for us to understand. He says that concentration, he's referring to now tranquil abiding, he says concentration represents, you know, attainment of concentration represents kind of a mastery over one's mind. And then therefore it's like it has a king-like quality. And the mastery of the mind is such that if one chooses to simply place that mind upon a chosen object, it will be so firm like the solidity of a mountain. So it just stays, you know, where you place the mind. And if, on the other hand, if you use it to analyze a chosen fact, then you will be able to apply it to any chosen virtuous object. So here he is talking, of course, about the accompaniment of the faculty of vipassana on the basis of shamatha. So here what we see is that the stability of the mind comes from shine, shamatha, and the analysis element of that is the vipassana. So both of these can be come together. And then he says that furthermore, concentration will lead, give rise to an experience of a bliss, great bliss, and that makes one's body and mind supple, serviceable. And here he's talking about the attainment of physical and mental pliancy, where which involves kind of, you know, gradual thinning of a kind of a natural inertia. So as the our natural kind of inertia comes to become more and more thinner, then, you know, our body and mind becomes more and more pliant and supple, and this then gives rise to an experience of a bliss. So therefore he says that the yogis who are cultivating concentration therefore must apply this and cultivate this concentration, which demolishes all the force in the form of distractions, and uphold this meditative stabilization.
Ne moshibuchi ada dere pejare ani chatheje derenchi ada lomonguchi julia deje te kongs de shine kombar shine kombar he cheno kapchiliya kono chipet denyam shu shike deyachi tipheje dimra rishin jang de asa de jimra.
I know actually a monk who had studied in the scholastic monasteries, and so he was well learned in the classics, a classical Buddhist text, but also did a lot of many years of meditation. He lived in Bhutan for a while, so he you know, meditated upon shamatha, tranquil abiding, and so once he told me that there was a point when his experience was really permeated by a sense of bliss. So it seems that you know, he was talking about this bliss derived from physical and mental pliancy.
That is, sure. That the person may be in some person in a room watch it, right? Basically, me, sir. And choose one Muslims and choose a keyboard.
So since most of people did not have did not bring their third volume, so I cannot read from the text, and still we have more time, so I'm trying to keep the time, fill the time.
You may guess.
So passing the time.
That shiro liya, it is shiro samutin yita mik sizane any shiri shiro la kasilaba na jere ji kada tamara nga hanzu ji labda shimo bodu ji do lobjo chya ti samo lo kada shere gu chitane do de wada so lobjan da ban mo gu chu gwa ba lobjan da men de chane any shere ri ya ne nga ri gu zu do ba shere ne lu zu do shere us bena ta ji da pen pearl ya nam yu da kya ga de zu da kya ga mi du ri ji ne cha wa nga ji ne chung wa nga ji ne ju se na zu she de ga re so ta de ni sa ne
Shirab
Samutinita mix. Sivezawa Tumnijibe Lams. That Sivezawa Dimutensi. tanda rishme ba mawa ta titani shebe yina dimu tenzin di she ta dimu tenzin di ngay di nyambu chengen di miwa chiklami na zindang gaya kwa ne zindang ngangato songa kwa ne ene nationalization song tengen di ta dunyudu shirab di kyan kyan yinpare dindu yinpare yinpare zane haka nyo shirasong tira sibe zawa chungnen jimbe lams Nyundu Guinea was of the Mazeve, Tadu Shiri Guinea would dear, much never the danger should have quarreled. Jir Casoribanzuda, Chugge Chevina, Gorondoj debiting his daddy, Dana Tinu Shadi. Now Lami Shunkadune, Loba Tai, 20 years as a daddy, Tinu Shu Korchati. Suddenly, the Sane, Sivets our Tunisi Bellum, Sivets our Timu Denzinda. Tei Shakwe, Paja, Shiri the Java, the Tamjaro, Sun Jinji, Yambo, so the Shirat race, the English race, the Swain Body. Shiro of Tim, Sivers of Mijim Lam, so no good and not way and tennis. Ta, Dishibe, and yes, the Soro Tada, Dekonanil, Shaw, Dekonanil, Baba, Dekonanil, Baba, Chene. Chichini Casa, but then didn't you listen to you? Tayan Yang and Dashi, the human secure me, sent so on a shing. Ta, John Dende, Rumiki, Dangon de Zeva, Koba, Telia Triagi, Ta Top Kona, Ta Topson Dong and Jimbari, Ta, Murti, Yuegone, Namji Jas of Triagi, Tumbashi, Bari. The name in the Sane, Tuni Tawadi, Solo Gunde, Naboja, Chase, the Solo Nabo editor. The moon music, German shot top. Dimu member say, Jirta, Jirjan, Dimuradia, Jirin, Denzil Timurjan, Di, Daya, Mishibe, Ta, Nangar Bokuzo, the Shiros, and Yidia, Rangi, and the turn to the tell of Mombe Bomba Yungurbata, Senoata, Chidishini, Tan Kaine, that Mombe member singing, any German double race, Dimu, Tazashin, Tadu Kabai, Lambda Beva to me, given
set. So, With respect to wisdom, Tsongkhapa writes in the same Lamrimin verse, Songs of Spiritual Experience. He says that wisdom refers to the eyes with which one sees the profound suchness, and generally speaking. When we talk about wisdom, we are talking about the faculty of intelligence, which needs to be developed even in the context of conventional education. So, for example, in the educational settings, one of the main qualities that we are developing and applying is really wisdom. And therefore, in the Buddhist text also, when we speak about wisdom, we talk about wisdom pertaining to the facts of conventional reality and wisdom pertaining to the facts of ultimate reality. So within the conventional domain, of course, the Tibetan classical tradition follows the model of classical Indian tradition. So we speak of five main fields of knowledge and five secondary fields of knowledge. So altogether, there are cultivation of wisdom in the fields of ten fields of knowledge. So the five principal fields of knowledge, again modeled upon the classical Indian tradition, are the study of the linguistics, primarily Sanskrit linguistics. There is the study of logic and epistemology, the praman, and the study of healing, science of healing or medicine, and the study of arts and crafts, and what is called the inner science. And then the minor fields of knowledge includes many other forms. So these are, in the classical Indian model, seen as important fields of knowledge in which an educated person must cultivate their and apply their wisdom. However, here, in the context of our practice, the wisdom really refers to the wisdom understanding the ultimate reality, the suchness of things. And here Tsongkhapa says that, so therefore he says wisdom is the eye with which one sees the profound suchness, and it is the path by which one eradicates from the root of cyclic existence. And this is, as explained before, because the root of cyclic existence is the delusion, particularly in the form of grasping a true existence. And it is the wisdom of emptiness, the cultivation of which provides us the direct antidote that opposes the perspective of this fundamental ignorance, and by this, in that way, is able to root it out. So therefore, Tsongkhapa says that wisdom is the path by which one eradicates the root of cyclic existence. And then he says that it's the treasure of high qualities presented in all the amongst all the scriptures. And here Tsongkhapa is pointing out that the teaching on wisdom is really the treasure of all the Buddha's teachings. And because ultimately Kamalashila makes this very explicit in his stages of meditation. So here Tsongkhapa is alluding to the statement that all the teachings of the Buddha, either directly or indirectly, converges upon the teaching on emptiness. So they may be pointing towards emptiness, they may be actually leading to emptiness, or they may be actually settled upon emptiness. So here, Tsongkhapa, for example, writes in his praise to the Buddha for teaching dependent origination, or in praise of dependent origination, where Tsongkhapa says that, referring to the Buddha, whatever you have taught, taught from the point of view of dependent origination, and in your speech, there is nothing that does not lead to the attainment of freedom or peace. Let me rephrase this. Whatever you have taught, you have done so from the point of view of dependent origination, and that too you have taught for the sake of attainment of nirvana, and therefore you do not engage in any activity that somehow is not contributing towards the attainment of peace and tranquility. So this is what Tsongkhapa is pointing towards. And then he says that and therefore wisdom is the most excellent lamp to dispel the darkness of delusion.
Now 11:33. Finish. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pick up all of your belongings and exit the arena immediately. Thank you. and have a wonderful day.